So today we get more practice at that idea of the, I don't know, is it the Baptists or the Methodists, whoever goes over an hour, we get to practice today. We have much to share, and isn't that a nice thing and a good and important thing? Yesterday at the winter fair, I bought some gluten-free cranberry bread. I was standing with a member of the congregation wondering about what was in it exactly. What is in that bread, since there's no regular wheat that makes it seem like normal gluten bread when it really isn't? And Amy said, magic. Ah, those things unknown to us, mysteries and miracles. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Oh, come, peace. Oh, come, justice. Oh, come, love, and ransom us from our despair. We have been waiting so long. We are waiting still. What is it that will make us feel safe, that will save us from the exile of the worries that separate us from our whole selves? What is it that will assure us that Emmanuel is real? Emmanuel, the certainty that God is with us, that the sense of a holy presence or a holy peace or perhaps a connectedness with all that is. What is it that will show us it can be real? How long must we wait? Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice that Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Magic, in the very best sense of the word, mystery and miracle, real peace, real justice, real love. How long must we wait? Right now is the season of Advent in the Christian calendar, the season of waiting, of anticipation of an event, not unlike the season of journey that we spoke about several weeks ago when Moses was leading his people out of Egypt towards the Promised Land and knew he was not there yet. And now in Advent, we are not there yet. This is the traveling time. We're on the journey to what we hope will come, which is what? What is it we Unitarian Universalists hope for, if not the Son of God? I read a poem by Diana Butler Bass recently about this waiting time of year. Advent recognizes a profound spiritual truth that we need not fear the dark. Instead, wait there, under that blue cope of heaven, alert for the signs of dawn. Watch, for you cannot rush the night, but you can light some candles, sing some songs, recite poetry, say prayers. Advent recognizes a profound spiritual truth, she tells us, that we need not fear the dark. Every year it comes to remind us that the possibility of love is coming, and soon. It's coming soon. It's 4 weeks of time when we become, as Israel was, the waiting church. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. For a long, long time, I did not pay very much attention to Advent. As a child, Christmas was the big event, of course. Who needed to be reminded that you had to wait? Duh. It was always weeks and weeks away. Yeah, yeah, Jesus. And then, of course, as an adult, eschewing much of the Christian practices and message in favor of a broadened Unitarian Universalist perspective, so that December was less singularly Christmas and more inclusive of the solstice and Hanukkah and the Buddha's Bodhi Day and Kwanzaa and the plethora of interfaith winter celebrations of light. For a long time, I lost Advent. I wonder if that happened to any of you. Or maybe it was never on your calendar to begin with. entirely possible. So let's go back for a few minutes to our gospel reading from the book of Matthew, the first of the four gospels of the New Testament. Remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know we are having a second biblical reference in a matter of weeks here at Theodore Parker Church. Don't get anxious. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels, fairly similar in their storytelling. John, on the other hand, quite different. In the book of Matthew, Jesus' Jewishness is a particular focus. So it's not surprising that the birth story, when Joseph hears that Mary is pregnant, and of course he knows it's not his child. And when I was telling this to one of my children yesterday, she said, "But how did he know?" She took owl. I'm not kidding. Anyway. So Joseph is planning to exercise his options, which are, according to Jewish law, basically to walk away from his engagement to Mary and send her on her way. He had, in his tradition, no requirement to honor their arrangement, and he was planning to cast her out respectfully, to dismiss her quietly, the Gospels tell us. He had a number of options, of course. He could have said, basically, "I'm not really interested in being responsible for this. I prefer no involvement, thanks." Or he could have found some organization that would help her, maybe. And, you know, he would partner with them in some way. They would take care of her, and maybe he would visit or provide funds. But then an angel comes to him and says, "Well, actually, this is kind of a special child. And it basically means that God will be among us, so would Joseph say no thank you?" He's a good guy. He offers her sanctuary. He welcomes the unknown into his life. He welcomes the unknown. He gives sanctuary to this woman who will bear a child that is not his own. There is a Jesuit practice, and likely similar practices in other traditions, of placing oneself into a story, for Jesuits, into the biblical stories, in order to better understand them, to discern their relevance in one's own life, to personalize the experience so that it is a lived experience instead of a distant one. We Unitarian Universalists are often not especially interested in or engaged with biblical stories. In many ways, we have distanced ourselves from Scripture. But just for now, just for this morning, let's pretend you are each Joseph, a pretty everyday kind of guy engaged to a pretty everyday kind of woman, only then it appears, maybe not. So an angel comes to you, which might feel a bit like magic, and you decide to stick with the program and marry your intended, and then you have to wait. It wasn't Advent then, because there wasn't Advent yet, but still, you have to wait and see what happens. And we are reminded that Advent recognizes a profound spiritual truth, that we need not fear the dark. Something good is on its way. Maybe the arc is bending. I was reading an article in The Guardian by author Barbara Kingsolver recently, who suggested that following the recent election, because we're coming back to this century, of course, we just woke up in another country. For those of us who feel this way, it may seem an especially dark place. It may feel an especially dark place. Wait there, Diana Butler Bass suggests. Watch. We're in this strange time right now. So was Joseph. There must be some mistake, we heard earlier. The road was here. At least 5 years ago, I thought the road I sought was here. But straight ahead, as far as I can see, there is no road, and I must wait. The Emmanuel we are constantly waiting for, I think, is love. It's why we tell these stories year after year. Not the glib love, not the quick love or the Hallmark love, but the lingering, lasting love that is wholeness, that is peace. It's clearly not here yet in our world, as Israel is the waiting church, as we are all the waiting church, people, one people yearning. We mourn in the lonely exile of our despair, whatever that looks like to each of us individually. In our disconnection, we're waiting for a message or a messenger until a preacher, a teacher, anyone will assure us that love is possible. And on Christmas Day, we may be reassured, oh yes, love is here. The child called love is born. Remember the story about the Messiah among us, the town that is grumbly and cranky and sad, until a stranger arrives and says, the Messiah is among you, and everyone wonders who it is. Is it the mayor, the baker, the child? And everyone is kinder to each other, imagining they may be meeting the Holy One, and everything changes. All are welcome now, even as they are waiting to figure out which one is the true Messiah. Does it really matter? Our theme for this month, for December, is receptivity. What is it we are prepared to receive this month? What message, what challenge, what love? Are we open to the possibility of newness? Our chancel area is changed this week, you may have noticed. Our quilt is gone, and a new palette is here, a bit unfinished looking, perhaps. We will add to it each week this month as a visual reminder of our capacity to become, to meet the challenges of our days and weeks with a willingness to receive. And I have brought us back to the story of Joseph this morning so that we might imagine how we would each respond to a woman who would otherwise be homeless, abandoned within her own culture. Once Mary is discovered to be pregnant, she loses her legal status. She has no standing. She is not protected by law. If not for the angel, which may or may not look like the one on the cover of your orders of service, Joseph would likely have followed through on his plan, which was not unusual in his culture. He would not have been blamed for his actions. But love apparently spoke to him. Love said, "This child is special. Take care of this woman. Take care of them both, even though technically it's not your job." There is something in my gluten-free bread that makes it work. It's not really magic, of course. I just don't happen to know what it is or what to call it. There is something in our hearts that calls us to care for each other, even when we don't know how to name it, or even when we may have set aside the miracle stories that remind us to be patient, that remind us that waiting is its own action. We cannot rush the night of our own discernment, but we can light candles, sing songs, recite poetry. We can pray. And we become more whole, more open, more filled with a spirit of love that inclines us to see it in others, to see it in the mayor, the baker, the child, the woman who has no legal status. So I wonder, can we be that place of welcome here at Theodore Parker Church? Can we be that place of sanctuary, that home of welcome and love? What would it mean to have doors open so wide, hearts open so wide, that we could shelter and offer shelter to those in need, to those who may have lost or lose their options? Maybe I was being too specific earlier in inviting you to imagine yourselves as Joseph. Who else might you be in that story? Might you have been Mary? With changed circumstances and few options, might you have been the angel, the voice of love and encouragement, saying, "You can do this, Joseph. You can be the sanctuary." How might that feel? We have things to discover as a community of seekers in our wonder box. We have things we sometimes forget are available to us, things like tenderness and hope. Things like generosity and courage, clarity and compassion. Things that remind us of our potential to offer to others what we so need in our own worlds. A radical welcome that says, "You are safe here. We will care for you." O come, Emmanuel, during this month of waiting, and ransom our captive souls so that we might do the same for others. May our time of pause this month remind us of our capacity to be the traveler's welcome, the respite, that we have no need to fear the dark. It is only a matter of time. Love is on its way. So may it be.